Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good.
Welcome to If Nothing Changes, Nothing Changes, Life Coaching with Deidre. I'm Deidre, your host, coming to you live on Inner Light Radio, broadcasting straight out of Richmond, California. Now, I know you could have listened to any of the thousands of podcasts on the radio, internet, or even satellite. So let me start off first for thanking you for picking mine. I am an organic therapist, personal mental trainer, self-esteem booster, good-hearted devil's advocate, relationship guru, archaeologist of the soul, and a boss, all rolled up into one, here to give you my perspective on life by guiding, deepening, and challenging your thoughts while influencing you with innovative, insightful information, not forgetting to motivate, provoke, and influence your actions while empowering, educating, and entertaining you. My show will be talking about life, dreams, relationships, love, happiness, health, wealth, fitness, careers, family, and everything else that goes along with all of that. Today, I want to discuss small money habits to pick up as soon as possible to prevent financial anxiety. We are continuing with this series because it's been a year since Trump's administration returned to the White House. Almost every hardship that he promised to fix during the presidential contest 2 years ago, such as cutting energy costs in half, making housing affordable, or ending inflation, all of these things either remain a problem or has gotten worse. About 53% of U.S. adults said the national economy has become worse off since Trump became president again. Rather than driving prices down, Trump's policies are keeping them higher than they would otherwise be. The inflation rate has been climbing since April 2025. So far, retailers have claimed that they have swallowed a good chunk of the higher costs from several tariffs imposed by the White House last year on foreign foes and allies, but some costs are still being passed on to consumers. A day before the 2024 presidential election, Trump declared at a rally in Pittsburgh that a vote for him means your groceries will be cheaper. That hasn't come to pass. Over the last 12 months, the price index for meats, poultry, fish, and eggs rose 3.9%. And Trump's most ambitious commitment with his pledge to cut energy bills in half within 12 months. However, household utility costs have surged 41% between 2020 and 2025. And these costs have risen another 5% since January 2025. The Trump administration is trying to increase oil supply through leasing more federal land and water for drilling and taking control of Venezuela's oil industry. But those measures would take years to yield production, and just 1% of U.S. electricity comes from oil. Homeownership, which is considered America's dream, remains a critical milestone for most Americans. But it is becoming out of reach for many as housing remains scarce and pricey for buyers. Still, prices have risen so much over the past few years that many young people are locked out. The share of first-time buyers in the market just hit an all-time low of 21%. And the average age for first-time home buyers rose to 40 years old, an all-time high. Trump recently called for potentially barring Wall Street investors from buying single-family homes, but his administration has rolled back regulations that favored occupant buyers over institutional investors. The Washington Post fact-checker created a new category of what they call falsehoods back in 2018 of Trump, and it was called the bottomless Pinocchio. By the end of Trump's first presidency, he averaged 21 lies a day, totaling 30,573 lies. And as I have just proven, the lies have continued during his second term. Trump does not care about the everyday lives of Americans, even though he continues with his promises to make life more affordable for everyone. But what's happening in the real world is that Americans are feeling financially vulnerable, and this lying-ass president is not coming to help us. We have to take control of our own money, and we need to start right now. And when you take the right steps, nothing can stop you. Since the very first presidents, Black folks have found ways to succeed financially. So just like all the generations of the past, we have to prepare for whatever life brings, both the expected and the unexpected. So that means we need to get the right information for four key financial areas. How are we covering our essentials? How are we maintaining or upgrading our financial lifestyle? How are we preparing for the unexpected? And how are we going to leave a legacy instead of a debt? As usual, we are blessed to have the best financial educator in the Bay here to not only educate us in those specific areas, but once you get connected with this queen, you will also feel more confident, connected, and in control of your financial life, because that's what she does. Hey, queen, what's going on with you and how are you doing?
Awesome. Thank you for having me again. I feel like our conversations are so very much needed, especially in this economy and during these crazy times. So I'm excited to be here and I'm ready to get busy.
All right. Well, let's start off with, you know, we've been talking about financial wellness and how we can get a financial wellness routine. That's kind of like where we've left off, and you have given us some pointers, but what's your definition of financial wellness? And, you know, in a nutshell, can you kind of, you know, tell us how can we achieve it?
Well, for me, financial wellness is really simple. It's really just about feeling confident, being prepared, and being totally in control of your money, not stressed by it. I often ask my clients, are you in control of your money or is your money controlling you? So financial wellness doesn't necessarily mean being rich. I think a lot of times we think our money isn't right until we're rich, but it really means, is your money able to support your life and your lifestyle? A good financial wellness routine is very simple. Doesn't have to be complicated. Doesn't have to be crazy. You just need to know what's coming in and going out. Every time we talk about simple budgeting, paying yourself first, learning how to save consistently. I don't care if it's a dollar every paycheck. Start with that dollar. Start where you are. Starting small is still a start. Getting to the point where you're learning to manage your debt intentionally. Protecting your family. A lot of times we think about everything but the protection of our family. What that means is having insurance, life, health, you know, disability insurance, and also building an emergency fund. A lot of us often will have all our other ducks in a row, but when something happens, when an emergency happens, when the unexpected happens, we are not prepared. And then planning for the future, making sure that you are setting something aside for your retirement, that you are setting something aside for you moms and dads out there with small kids. You need to be planning for their future as well. The main goal for you should be creating a comfortable, I guess, a situation where you feel okay with where your finances are, but also thinking about the future, thinking about creating legacy. A lot of times when I'm sitting with my one-on-one clients, I'm saying to them, think of your financial wellness plan like you're thinking of self-care. This is self-care for your finances. Doesn't have to be crazy. It can be small, but it just needs to be consistent habits that you're building over time.
And those are doable. You know what I mean? Like you say, consistent habits. And those are, anytime you want to make a change, that's how you do it. Consistent habits that you build over time. So, you know, this is what some people call adult Christmas because it's tax time. Okay. So let's talk about taxes. So, you know, we talk about this in my mommy groups and my parent groups. What are the pros and cons of getting a large tax refund? Because I know some parents see this as a good thing. Most parents do. And then when I, since I'm not financial, got the verbiage that I need. I can't really explain to them, why breaking even is good. You know what I mean? So I'm going to put this over to you. Tell us, how does the tax refund work, and what's the pros and cons of getting a large tax refund opposed to breaking even?
So that's kind of a few part question, because when a tax refund for most, right, generally means you paid more taxes than necessary during the year. So what happens is the IRS is giving you your money back. They borrowed some of your money and then they're giving it back. So the pros of it is, yes, it feels like a financial reset. It feels like a bonus. Of course, it can help you with some of those big expenses and paying down debt. It also, for a lot of people, the reality is, Coach Deidre, a lot of people they need to be forced to save. So yes, we want to break even, or we want to not owe, and we don't necessarily want to have anything coming back all the time. But for some people, they need that for savings, because they would struggle to save otherwise during the year. But the con of it is, it's an interest-free loan to the government. You've lent them your money. You've loaned them a portion of your money. You overpaid into federal and state taxes for 12 full months. That money, had you had fixed your W-4 forms adequately, that money could have helped you with monthly cash flow, could have helped you with your monthly expenses. And then it's also a missed opportunity to invest. Put that money somewhere where you're going to actually make some money, right? Because there are, let's say you put it in an index plan, instead of giving it to Uncle Sam for 12 months in a row, you put that extra $100, $200, $300 a month into an index plan where you're going to get an 8% interest, as opposed to the government just giving you that exact same amount back. You kind of missed an opportunity. You also miss opportunities to do other things, like pay down your debt earlier. So the goal is to aim for balance, not a huge refund, also not a big tax bill. But also the flip side of that is that it works kind of differently depending on where your income level is. If you are a higher income earning individual and you receive that tax refund, then everything I just said made sense. But for some lower income individuals, when they receive a tax refund, it's sometimes due primarily to refundable tax credits. So there are some tax credits, like the Earned Income Tax Credit, which is also known as EITC. Then there's the Child Tax Credit for those who have children under the age of 17. There are credits available. So those credits can reduce their tax liability to zero and provide a refund, even if no income tax was withheld from them for the year. So some people can't really help getting an income tax refund because of those credits and those deductions that they have. So if that happens, you know, if you have, if you are in more of a lower income tax bracket, then that's okay. But I would still fix my W-4 forms. And the IRS.gov website actually has a tax calculator that you can download. You can put in your last paycheck stub, and it will tell you if you are having too much of your, if you're having too much money come out, of your paycheck, you know, biweekly, however you're paid. So I encourage everybody to go and download the income tax, calculator, so that you can really get the withholding calculator, so that you can really get a look at exactly how much should be coming out of your paycheck. You don't want to give the government too much of your money to hold. You just don't want to do that.
That makes a lot of sense. And I'm glad you did touch on, you know, not only the different incomes, but also, you know, how, you know, some parents do use this as, you know, their almost like their yearly savings account. And, you know, apparently, you know, I'm glad that you said that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know what I mean? Especially, I think, if you are using the money wisely when you do get it. You know what I mean? That's what I think, that's the second part, if you are using it for, you know, as a yearly savings account, so to speak. But, you know, once you do get that amount back, you know, doing wise things. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Because the reality is, for some families, that refund, Coach, is the only lump sum they're going to see all year. So mm-hmm. when I do have those clients, my advice is always like, be intentional, not emotional, because people get that big lump sum and then they get crazy, right? So I often encourage people to do two things, because I know they want to spend some of that money. It just is what it is. I mean, that's the natural response of most people, especially if that's the only time you only get that money in February or March. And you see that big lump sum and it's like the bells start ringing in your ears and it's like the lights start blinking on and off and people want to go crazy with it. So I always say, think about what you're going to do with that money. Mm-hmm. Write it down. Split it up. Mm-hmm. You want to have two parts to that money. The largest part needs to be responsibility. Because I can almost guarantee you that if you have a large income tax refund, you got some bills that need to be paid. You got some things that you need to take care of. Your emergency fund is probably not built out. So the largest part, I always say, hey, 80% of that money needs to be responsibility. And then maybe 10 to 20% can be reward, but make sure you are doing the right thing. And then sit down and ask yourself, does this purchase reduce stress long term, or is it just a feel good short term thing? Am I spending this money just to feel good? Because I don't want people to feel shamed for using their refunds, but I do want to help people move forward. And that refund needs to do something for you so that you are not just getting by after right. March. Mm-hmm. You're not just barely making it through. I see people all the time, January, February, March, they are living it up. April, May, June, July, you know, they're barely getting by. And that's because they did wrong by that lump sum.
And you know, and I'm always challenging parents because it's almost like Christmas was just around the corner. What more could you possibly need? You know what I'm saying? That you didn't reward yourself or reward your children with, that literally 3 months later, now we really have to sit here and just bust out and just, you know, use all of our funds in ways that you said to me, doesn't move us forward, because that's more second. Important.
Exactly. Yes. And let me tell you something to anybody who's listening. Retailers love you.
Mm-hmm.
Come mid-January. That's when if you ever go into some of these large retailers, I don't even want to give them the glory of saying their names because we spend too much money in them anyway. But you go on some of these large retailers, honey, the biggest TVs are at the front of the store. What used to be canned goods at the front of the store is replaced mm-hmm. by 85-inch televisions with a banner about the Super Bowl, right? Because they're trying to catch you right before. They're hoping everybody gets that check before the Super Bowl happens so they can go out and get the biggest TV and sit it in the living room next to the other big TV. You know, so now they're moving one big TV from the living room to the bedroom. So it's like, retailers love to see consumers, and we got to get out of that mindset where we're just buying, buying, buying. I mean, all the new cars are on sale. All the TVs are on sale. All the things that your kids don't need are on sale. All the cell phones, I guarantee you, there'll probably be an iPhone 34 dropping, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. in 2 weeks, there will be a new iPhone. There will be a new Galaxy phone, because retailers know that the majority of the people who are getting the largest refunds are lower income individuals.
Mm-hmm. 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 And they are always, people are always in the mindset that they've worked hard, I'm owed something, you know what I mean? And you know, and I agree, I just don't feel like you owe yourself the whole bonanza of, you know, your entire checks and your entire tax refunds and your, you know, every single solitary time that you get them. So that's where I think the challenge comes in, because it gets old after a while. And right. I thought about you this weekend. My husband and I are cleaning out closets in our house, and you were right. You know, when you literally do an organized cleaning of your closet, you don't need nothing.
Nothing.
You don't need nothing. And I started laughing because it just seemed like the more the closet got organized, the more we were finding things that we hadn't worn in a long time, just because it was scrunched over or pushed in a corner or someplace, you know, wasn't hung right on the floor. All kinds of stuff was happening. When we had it organized, we were like, oh my God, look at all this that we have. And you're right. We don't need anything. What we really need to be doing is using our money wisely and stop buying some material stuff. Cause that,
absolutely.
I'm thinking that after a while, we just have to stop being so insatiable.
Absolutely.
That's the part that I think that we're just getting, like, how many pair of shoes do you need? How many pair of shoes does a 9-year-old need when you know that they're only going to be able to wear them for 9 months? You know, absolutely. Those type of practical thoughts that we have to make sure that we think about, that we can make some really big changes on. Because I know some of us who are in different situations, because everybody's in a different situation and a different mindset with their money. But if I do want to start my financial wellness routine, I have listened to you for, you know, all these years you've been on here, and I'm thinking like, okay, I'm going to do different with my money this year. How can you encourage people to do something different and start their financial wellness routine the right way?
Yeah, I feel like a tax refund is a great starting point. As a matter of fact, I just had a meeting this morning with a client, and we really focused on what's getting ready to come into her life financially. That income tax refund is going to be the base, or the building block to her new strong financial foundation. We're looking at it as, not just extra money, but we're looking at it as, okay, this is the money that is going to help you to shift gears, help you to relax a little bit, have that wiggle room. So I often encourage, you want to start building or topping off your emergency fund. Every time we talk and we mention emergency fund, I get people that ask me, well, Kendra, what does that really mean? That means you having a minimum of 3 months of your living expenses set to the side somewhere. Put that in a high yield savings account so that in the event, if you are a renter and your landlord starts acting crazy, you know you've got money to move. Or if you are a homeowner and your washing machine wants to walk out of your washroom and walk right into the kitchen, you know you're able to replace that. So you want to have 3 months minimum. You want to work your way to 6. Eventually 12, 3 months of your emergency fund. If you already have 3 months, it don't hurt to add more to it. Go into 4 months, go into 5, go into 6. You want to look at your high interest debt. Sit down and pull all those credit cards out of your wallet and find out how much interest am I paying on these credit cards? Knock down some of that debt. You want to, if you don't already have one, you want to start your retirement or your investment accounts, especially those of you that are listening that are either currently business owners, entrepreneurs, or thinking about becoming a business owner or an entrepreneur. Now is the time for you to recognize how much money you need to start looking at putting into your retirement account. Because when you are an entrepreneur, when you are a business owner, your retirement is all on your shoulders. So now's the time for you to start thinking about what is my retirement going to look like? How do I start that? You got a little bit of income tax refund? Start adding to that. You want to cover overdue financial priorities. Do you need to pay down some insurance? Just because your life insurance is paid monthly doesn't mean you can't pay it semi-annually. Doesn't mean you can't pay it yearly. Think about estate planning. I have a lot of clients, and so do you, Deidre, who are single moms or single dads. Now is the time for you to start thinking about building an estate plan. You need a will. You need a trust. You want to leave something behind, or you want to say, hey, my kids are under the age of 18. Where do they go in the event of my demise? That needs to be spelled out in an estate plan. So take that money and think of it as seed money. If you think of it as seed money and not spending money, it will make you put some things into focus, and you will make a better and different decision with that money than you made in 2025. Don't just sit here and listen to me and Deidre month after month and say, oh, that's some good information. No, now's the time for you to start having that shift in your mindset. But that shift in your mindset should also induce a shift in your behavior, a shift in your pattern. It should provoke you to take some action and do something different with your finances.
I agree. Do you think that using your tax returns to make an investment for the first time is a wise choice, or what would you consider?
Absolutely. If your foundation is solid, right? If you've already begun the process of making sure your emergency fund is at least started, doesn't have to be built out. If you've got some emergency funds set to the side, if your high interest debt is under control, you're able to pay a little bit more than the minimum on at least one of your credit cards. If your insurances are okay, absolutely. But start simple, right? And even if your insurance is not okay, you can invest in your life insurance. Start simple. Life insurance, a Roth IRA, put more into your employer retirement plan, find yourself some low-cost index funds. You don't have to be an expert to make an investment. You just need to do a little research. You need to connect with somebody like me who is a licensed financial professional. But the main thing is you just need to start. So yes, 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 and yes. Take some of that income tax refund and start investing now.
I love that. I love that. For those that are experienced, because everybody ain't always new, what's the best way to either use your tax refund to diversify your investments or to use it to improve my investments if I've already got some that I already have?
Well, you know, I'm a licensed financial professional, so I'm gonna give you the mama answer, but I'm also gonna give you the professional answer. Diversification is really where it's at. Diversify, diversify, diversify. What that means is you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. I meet with people all the time and they go, oh yeah, I'm investing. I have a 401k. Okay. What else? And they're like, okay, well, that's it. You know, or one of my brothers is very, very, very heavily into the stock market. And let me tell you, the stock market has been up, it's been down, it's been up, it's been down. And he sits with like four computer monitors and he's looking from left to right and to the center and back to the left and back to the right. And it drives him nuts, or it would drive me nuts anyway. So I always say you want to diversify. You want to have different asset types. It's okay to have stocks. It's okay to have bonds. It's okay to have real estate, but it's also okay to have index plans, and it's also okay to invest in other things, different industries, different types of brokerage accounts. You want to look at what it is. First of all, you need to know what you're trying to accomplish. You need to have some goals. A lot of people just invest blindly. You need to do a little bit of research and you need to know what your desired outcome is and by when. So if you're 30 and you're not worried about the money until 60, then you can make some different decisions. But if you're 46 like me and you need to start seeing some return fairly soon because 60 is around the corner, then you need to do things a little bit differently. So it all depends on what it is you're looking to accomplish and by what date. But no matter what the answers are to those two questions, when, how much, and by what date, you need to make sure that diversification is a part of your strategy. And then you need to look at your investments frequently, because you may have to rebalance them regularly, because that's just as important as investing. Knowing where the money is going, knowing what kind of interest you're getting from that money, having a date on the calendar as to when you want X amount of dollars by, and then just constantly rebalancing to make sure everything is working the way it's supposed to.
Okay. In this, and we've been talking a lot about, you know, the future, having, you know, some money put away for 3, 4, 5, 6 months or whatever. And, you know, even going beyond that, you know, having a legacy, like I had started off, and, you know, making sure that we don't leave our family in debt. But in these times that we are living in right now, where, again, I can barely make, my household ends meet, how can I establish or still establish a retirement plan? What are your thoughts on people who are, first, let's talk about the people who are just struggling and what should they do in order to try to build for their future.
So if money is a problem, right? So you're showing up at work every day, but you're struggling. The reality is we are all going to want to retire at some point in time. I mean, there's only so much that your one little body going to be able to do. One day you are not going to have the ability to make active income, right? Where you actually go out and do the work and then the money comes. So you got to plan for a day where you can have passive income coming in, meaning I've already done the work. And so now the money is going to come in. The first thing I always tell people is you need to know what's coming in and what's going out. No matter what's happening, you always have to have a plan to pay yourself first. If you are already struggling, there are really only two ways for you to increase your finances. Way number one is you're going to have to earn more. And way number two is you're going to have to spend less. So between those two things, earning more, so you may have to take on another job, you may have to take on another side hustle. And then secondly, reevaluate what's going out and try and spend less. Then from there, once you know how much cash flow you have, because building and establishing a retirement plan is really about you having some cash flow to invest in said retirement plan. So step one is you can go and check out, if you work for someone, look at your employer sponsored plan, because oftentimes your employer sponsored 401k or what have you will have a match, right? So even if you can only put up 3% of your paycheck, if they match you with 3%, well, there you go. You can look into, if you don't have an employer sponsored plan, you can meet with a financial professional. When you meet with that financial professional, they're going to talk to you about IRAs. They're going to talk to you about index plans. They're going to talk to you about so many different types of plans. And then once you figure out what kind of plan you want, then you are going to want to set up automatic contributions. That way you are forced to pay yourself first. I tell people all the time, retirement planning isn't about age. It's about time and consistency, but it's also about cash flow. You have to have something that you can contribute into that plan. So if you feel like at the end of every paycheck, there is absolutely nothing left to contribute, we go back to the two ways. One, you're going to have to figure out how you can earn more. Or two, you're going to have to take inventory of every dime that's going out, and you're going to have to figure out how you can spend less. And whatever you come up with from those two things, earning more and spending less, that balance, whatever's left over from that, that needs to be shifted into said retirement plan.
And you know what? I think sometimes that spending less can happen not only when you do an inventory of your money, but when you do an inventory, just like we were talking about, of your closet, of your house, of the things that you already have, so that you will stop thinking that you need to keep spending. Because sometimes, you know what I mean? Because sometimes the adjustments that we have to make really just have to be on all these treats and all this other stuff that we act like we just have to have. That right there sometimes can be enough to make a difference where I don't even have to make a lot of other shifts in other places. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I tell people all the time, if you just log into your online banking and you just go back 3 months, we're in January, if you just looked at, and we're at the end of January. So if you log into your online banking right now and you looked at whatever account is linked to that debit card that you like to swipe, and you look at all the spending you did in January, you look at all the spending you did in December, you look at all the spending you did in November, you will come to find out that you have more cash flow than you think you actually have, because you're going to add up. I want you to add up all the coffees. I want you to add up all the little trinkets you bought. I want you to add up all the times the babies just had to have McNuggets. You know, all those things, all those little things add up to a big amount. So we have a lot of $6 and $7 and $8 and $9 and $10 purchases that we make over the course of a 90-day time frame. And it's like in 90 days, if you've spent $10 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, you can look and go, you know what? Why did I buy another sweater? Who needs that another part. Sweater? Why do
that
we,
part.
You got a closet full of sweaters. Mm-hmm. Why do you need another? I was talking to my mom. I'm gonna veer real quick. And she, the church, they were wearing red. And I just so happened to call my mom during her lunch hour. And I said, "Hey, mom, what you doing?" And she said, "Oh, I'm out. I'm looking for something red." And I said, "Mom, I know good and well that you in that double closet that you have, I know you have something red in that closet." Mm-hmm. Yet and still you felt the need to drive all the way. You passed your house at lunch mm-hmm. and went to Ross mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. you just had to have. She said, "Well, they may have seen me in the other red stuff that I have." And I said, "If you put the red blouse with a different pair of pants and throw a different scarf around your neck, I promise you they won't even recognize that they've seen it before. And what difference does it make that they've seen it before?"
And you know what? I'm glad you brought that part up, because that's the part that keeps us broke. I'm not necessarily mad at the coffees or slinging my kids some nuggets sometimes when I don't feel like cooking. But I do get the, I do when I see parents using it because you have bought 3 pair of tennis shoes in 1 month. You mm-hmm. have bought, you know, 4 pair of jeans, you know, in 2 months. That to me, because those things aren't cheap anymore.
Right.
And that to me is when we're, and everything is because, you know, somebody done seen you in it, or it's got to match now this new shirt that you got for $10, but your tennis shoes are worth $300. What in the world? You know what I mean? It's that to me is the part that irritates me, because we are still worried about somebody, thinking that they are going to, you're so important, they're going to remember what you wore the last time that we saw you. And I have told people a million times, I don't think I have been to one function ever and have pointed out that is what they wore the last time I saw them. And I've been to at least 1.7 million functions. I've never looked at somebody, "She had that same thing on last time." I guess maybe it's not that important to me, or I don't hang around people with that type of mentality. But either way you go about it, in my mind, I'm thinking, don't nobody do it, no way. And that's just something we keep using as an excuse to keep going and buying and buying and buying more.
And buying and spending and wasting. Not only are we wasting valuable time and money, we're wasting brain power.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know what I mean? Things mm-hmm. are really happening in the world, and we're looking for a red sweater. It's like, why is so unnecessary? And that is a mentality that, it's a mindset that a lot of people have to get past. And I know that's something that I'm just speaking from my family. Mm-hmm. I recall, and I know we're kind of veering, but I recall being a little girl, and I recall my mom being in the mindset that my brother and I had to have something new for every mm-hmm. single holiday. We had Easter outfits.
Come on.
We, you know, and Easter, we had Easter Sunday outfits that we could still fit, because from 9 to 10, you kind of are the same size. From like 9 to 11, you're the mm-hmm. same. And we would get a new Easter outfit. We'd get a new Easter basket. We would get new Easter shoes. And then right after Easter, there was a Memorial Day weekend gathering that our family would have. We had Memorial Day outfits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But come college
for every
time,
holiday.
Yes.
For every celebration in the family.
Yes.
You know, for every event that we gonna go to.
Yes.
You know, and our, you know, for every you know, weather, you know what I mean? We got to have, you know, something, you know, for every season, we got to have summer clothes.
Yes.
We have to keep buying every year. We got to have something new, something more, our kids. Now, sometimes I may get it for your kids if they have outgrown, but not all of our, I'm like you. There are times where our kids will stay the same, but it's just because it's old. Who cares?
We had
and
new
we are,
summer.
We are planting that seed into our children
that
these things are important instead of the actual vacation that we're going on.
Yeah, we
I would
had
hate to have such good clothes. We look so good, but now we've cut into the money where we could actually do some activities when we're on at the vacation.
We didn't get a vacation. We were just dressed to kill, and we did not have, we had summer clothes without a summer vacation. We did. We had summer clothes with, and then we would get summer clothes in June. The minute school was out, we were out shopping and we get all these summer clothes. We didn't go anywhere but to our grandmother's house, who lived maybe 15 minutes away. And then when school was getting ready to start, so we got this big wardrobe in June, and then we get another big wardrobe in August for school. Okay, those were called school clothes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we got back to school clothes, and it wasn't until I was a full grown adult did I realize, because I was going to college thinking I needed school clothes, and I didn't realize until I got on campus that some people didn't have on new clothes. And I was like, oh, I went and bought a whole college wardrobe, because, and my mom went with me, mm-hmm. because I needed school clothes. And here I am, 18, an adult, no college money to pay for the classes. I done stood in the line for financial aid, but I was dressed to the nines, standing in the line for a loan.
Girl, horrible. Sitting in a class with 100 other students, okay? And ain't nobody even looking at you, okay?
100+ other students, nobody's looking at me. And I remember one of my professors, I'll never forget, one of my professors was a former Black Panther, and she said, come here, child. Her name was Dr. Erica Huggins. She said, come here, child. She said, you sure do be dressed. Why? Where are you going? And I was so embarrassed, because she said, every time I see you, you are dressed. Where are you going? I mean, I was just dressed for no reason. Right. And everybody else was throwing on, you know, sweats, and they were half asleep in class. And I was dressed like I was on my way to a gala. Every single day, because that was programmed in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's what we need, especially in these times, because I think one reason that you know, it was easier is because even though it was expensive, it wasn't, this is some expense I've never seen before.
Right.
You know what I mean? We've had expensive stuff, but it still has always been reasonable. Now right. This stuff is, it's not reasonable. It doesn't even make any sense that you're charging this amount of money for whatever this, you know, whatever it is that I'm buying. It's unreasonable. And everything crazy. Is. That's everything. Why I'm encouraging people to be, you know, more focused on your money. Because, yeah, we had times where it was, we had surplus. You right. know what I mean? Right. And we may have used that surplus foolishly, but now we don't even have any surplus, and we're still spending foolishly. That's my point.
Let me tell you, I just did another interview, and in doing my research for the interview, I looked into buy now, pay later plans, and I was going through all the companies and their stats, and they list their stats online. And they list their stats in their, you know, in their mission statements, all these Klarnas and Affirms and all these buy now, pay later plans. But what struck me was that in 2025, according to their numbers, at least 91 million people have used a buy now, pay later service for their essentials, household groceries. Mm-hmm. Now, you could say it how you want to say it, but buy now and pay later is really just a form of layaway. But right. you get to have the item in your hand right then. And I thought about it, and I said, people are putting their eggs on layaway. We are mm-hmm. buying strawberries, grapes, oranges, cookies, milk, whatever we need for our household, our groceries, our toiletries. We can buy them, but we cannot afford to pay for them now. And they have 12-month no interest loans, but on month 13, you are paying interest for the tissue you used last year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And again, since it sounds so good, people don't, even in those situations, sometimes in those scenarios, don't know how to curb their appetites, curb right. their spending habits. And you go back to spending foolishly.
Yes.
Instead of using it where in the beginning, when you got it, it was a necessity because you swore to God, you know, you needed these things. But we have to be careful. Are we buying what we need and not continuing in this economy to buy what we want?
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
Really, if you take inventory in your house, in your closet, in your car, any place that you are keeping anything, you will find you probably need very little.
Right.
And that's when we go back to, okay, well, if you don't need it, then think of other needs, and the needs that we should be thinking about are our financial futures and our children's financial futures. And, you know, even just, and not long term, we literally may just be thinking of what's going to be happening by the end of the year.
Right.
Just how are we going to be able to make it to another Christmas? You know what I mean? Those That's type right. of things. So let's get back to retirement real quick before we got to get out of here. Time is going by and we are still having these good conversations. Girl, you can never trail off because everything we're talking about is important. So
that's right.
Thank you for going with me sometimes when I go there. If I already have an existing retirement plan, and, you know, we do have, you know, some of our, you know, people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, again, still working, still have retirement plans that they've had because they still may have been at jobs for 20, 30 years, if not more. What should they be reviewing, and what changes, if any, should they be making, any necessary changes should they be making to their existing plans?
So, yeah, basically, when it comes to your existing retirement plan, you want to look at your contribution amount. What am I putting in? Are they matching me or are they not matching me? What are the fees associated with it? The reality is we tend to think that they're free. Your retirement plan at work is not free. There are fees that are involved with that plan. So you want to find out, what are the fees? How much of what I'm contributing is going towards fees versus going to the actual building of the plan? You want to look at your investment mix. What are you investing in? And that's why I always encourage people, don't hesitate to sit with a financial professional. There are some financial professionals like myself, like my team. I have a team of dedicated licensed financial professionals. We charge absolutely nothing. So you want to seek out the financial help that may not cost you right on the front end, so that you can have that person help you look at your mix. Where is my investment going? What am I putting my money into? Sometimes people get to work and they get a 401k or a 403b or a 457 plan, and they just check boxes. They don't know where the money is going, with how it's being invested. Who are your beneficiaries? You know, that's a big one. You want to know who, if in the event of my demise, who inherits this? You want to often check your beneficiaries, make sure that's up to date. The reality is your retirement plan has to match what's happening in your life. So as life changes, you know, marriages, divorces, kids, business growth, all those things, as those things happen, you need to continuously adjust your plan. Your retirement plan, which you started at 30, will probably not be what it needs to be at 52 or 53 or 54. Sometimes you have to put more into it, especially as you're nearing retirement. So like I said earlier, my objectives at 25 was different than my objectives at 35. And now they're totally different now that I'm very close to 50. So you just have to keep readjusting. But what I think everybody, if you have a retirement plan, go pull that plan, go log in. If you've never logged in to the account before, now would be a good time to register and log in, because every retirement plan, for the most part, I mean, unless you work for a little teeny tiny firm, but for the most part, everything is digital now. So you can go log in, you can look at your contribution, you can up it, you can lower it to match whatever's happening. You can find out the fees. You can find out where your money's going. You can add or switch your beneficiaries, but you just need to know what's happening with your stuff. That's the main thing.
You know, the one thing that I've been finding out, I have a couple of mature mommy groups, and they're, again, apprehensive about retiring because they don't feel like the monies that they will be receiving when they retire is going to be enough to even keep them, you know, at the regular lifestyle that they have. So a lot of people are retiring, yet you're actually just going back to look for another job. And I'm thinking, like, would you not want to keep making the money that you're making at the job that you have? Or, you know, so what are you seeing? I guess maybe my question is, let me get it together. What are you seeing about the decisions people are making at the ages, or has that changed the age of retirement?
The age of retirement is...
I mean, the one that, not the ones that is set for us, not the ones that are set. I'm thinking the, what people feel comfortable feeling they can do for themselves. Does that make sense?
So, well, for the most part, what I'm seeing is nobody's ready to retire.
That's
my
point.
You know, our parents and grandparents had that date on the calendar. Mm-hmm. And it was very real, but they also had a pension, right? So they didn't have to contribute to the 401k. They went to the job for 32 years, you know, and the job was going to make sure that they were going to be okay. Cost of living was going to be equal to what they were making. So they were going to be able to be comfortable. What I'm seeing is people are delaying retirement. Doesn't matter what the government is saying your retirement date is.
Exactly.
What's happening is the date on the calendar is not matching the amount of money that's in the bank account.
Boom.
Or, you know, or the amount of money that's in the 401k or the 403b. Because what a lot of people don't realize is once you start utilizing that money in the company's sponsored retirement plan, it's taxable. So it was not taxed on the front end, it's taxed on the back end. So you look at it and you say, oh my goodness, one third of this isn't even mine. So I'm seeing people delay retirement. I'm seeing people, I sit with people all the time who are 65, 66, 67, 70 years old, and they still have to punch the clock because the money is not there and the cost of living is astronomical. So they cannot afford to retire. And that's what I'm seeing happening more and more and more. Nobody can afford retirement in this economy.
And it's a sad situation when on one end, you can't afford to retire. And then on the other end, you can barely even afford to even start a retirement plan.
Right.
You know, and I have parents that are in their late 30s, in their, mid 40s. And again, they are, you know, working all kind of different hustles, let's call them, you know, not necessarily at a place that is setting anything up for themselves, but they don't have anything set up because in their minds or sometimes in their budgets, which is real, they just don't have another dime to be putting aside. I know you say go very low and go start real small, and they have, but by the time they retire, if they continue at the pace that they're saving, it still ain't gonna do nothing. Does that make sense?
All the time. I see it all the time. I see people who have been, you know, contributing just $100 per paycheck or $100 a month. And the first challenge was that they started late anyway, right? So they started late in the game. And then the economy went crazy and the cost of living just kept rising. And so they were never able to really properly fund their retirement. They didn't have, you know, financial literacy tools. Nobody sat down with them and showed them what to do. Most people are freestyling it and winging it. You know, you go into the job and the job is going to say, hey, would you like a 401k? Would you like a 403b? They're going to slide some papers in front of you. But it's just a bunch of words on paper. Nobody really knows what they're getting into. And nobody outlines it for you. Most companies, I mean, there are some where they will have, you know, the retirement administrator come in or HR come in. But for the most part, people are winging it and freestyling it and can barely afford to take the paycheck and pay all the bills. So the paycheck is spread so thin. What I recognize is many people just opt out of retirement. One, I don't understand it. Two, I can't afford it. And then when it becomes a thing or a big deal, they are so close to retirement that when they do start contributing and they're not contributing enough and they don't have that much time left on, you know, on the job, that by the time they retire, there's pennies there. Mm-hmm. So it's such a catch-22 because as a financial professional, I can say you need to earn more or spend less. Well, for some people, they're at their wit's end. They done spent less. And they don't have the energy, the ability, the wherewithal to earn more. Where?
Yes.
How?
Yes.
And that is really the cruel world that we live in. Because
yes.
you know, it sounds good. I know that. And people look at me all the time and say, earn more how? You know, I got, even though I'm in my 30s or I'm in my early 40s, I got a husband, two dogs, three birds, and five kids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I'm already working. I'm supposed to be working 40 hours, but my commute is, you know, 10 hours. So that puts me working 50 hours when you count my commute. And then I can barely afford daycare, so I can't pay more for the kids to be gone. And then I need to cook. I need to clean. I need to sweep. I need to, you know, nurse the baby. And so I understand that the world we live in is not as clear cut and dry, and so many people are suffering, and I don't have the answers. The only thing I say is that we need to demand some changes from our government.
Well, as you have, I've seen many of your videos say that ain't nobody coming to help us, and that would be the last people that I would be thinking that are on our list. Queen, we got to get out of here. Tell us real quick on what you got coming up, what classes you got, and then we got to get out of here.
Actually, and I will give you the details for this, Coach Deidre, so you can put it on your pages. I have a Saving Your Future event that is happening on February 3rd. It is going to be a virtual event, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can find more details about it. I'll give it to Coach Deidre. You can also find me on Facebook at Kendra Knows Best. As a matter of fact, I'm Kendra Knows Best on all platforms. And so you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. You can message me, and I will get you the information about how to register for that Saving Your Future event. It is a virtual meeting. We're going to discuss how you can save, grow, and protect your money. And we're going to give actual details on ways to make that happen. So we're not going to just talk about it. We're going to show you the steps to make sure that you are able to implement some tools that's going to help you earn more and spend less in 2026.
Good job, Queen. All right. I'll be seeing you next month, if not sooner. But we will definitely be having our show continue on with this good topic that we've had. Have a great weekend.
All right. Have a good day. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Adopting better money habits will help you take more control over your financial life, allowing you to save more, spend strategically, and build the wealth you want for yourself and your loved ones. The best money habits will help you save, use, and enjoy your money while keeping your spending in line with your income. Look, we come from a history of Black Americans marked by significant struggles and achievements. From the era of slavery to the present, Black Americans have faced systematic racism and economic disparities. Trump and his mindset, you guys, that's nothing new. But despite these challenges, we keep making remarkable progress in all areas of life, including our finances. We come from ancestors and households that found ways to generate solutions that promote financial stability for their families, and we're going to keep doing the same. Financial literacy doesn't happen by chance, but there are great ways to get started on some new financial habits. If you're looking to improve your financial outlook for 2026, one of the first steps you'll want to make is to get organized. Be honest with yourself about your spending, your savings, your giving, and any other categories that you allocate funds to. Take some classes. Kendra teaches something every single solitary week. And start learning how to achieve your financial goals better this year. So, I guess that wraps it up for me today. Thanks for tuning in and listening. We can stay connected on my social media outlets, my Facebook page, If Nothing Changes, Nothing Changes Life Coaching, my Instagram page, Coach Deidre, at Coach Deidre, and past podcasts can be heard on CoachDeidre.com. So, I'll be back with a new show on Friday, February 6th at noon on the one and only Inner Light Radio. I hope you'll tune in again. Until then, I hope you'll be doing more than paying bills and waiting to die. Go live. This is Deidre, your life coach, reminding you, if you want to make a change in your life, do it. Because if nothing changes, nothing changes.